1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. 100-degree temps, not the only danger crews face battling this largest wildfire in California so far. North of Sacramento, ABC's Kena Whitworth.
Down trees and power lines hampering this firefight. In fact, one Cal Fire official told me that not only is this fire burning aggressively, but that it's angry in all the right places. It's burning part of the forest that hasn't burned in decades, tripling in size, and it's now the largest fire in California.
Coordinated arson attacks in the French rail system caused travel chaos hours before the Olympics opening ceremony today in Paris. A fourth attempt was thwarted by rail workers who scared off several suspected arsonists. Ismael Amayo Zambada, 76, alleged big-time Mexican-based drug cartel leader, pleaded not guilty in federal court in El Paso, Texas today. Former President Trump says he plans to hold a second rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, where he was shot 2 weeks ago. This is ABC News. A warning about health risks linked to some pots and pans used in maybe your kitchen.
It's called the Teflon flu. People getting sick from a release of chemicals used on certain nonstick cookware. Health experts say waterproofing products like Teflon and Scotchgard, when overheated, can lead to high chemical exposure, resulting in possible hormone imbalance, miscarriage, developmental issues, and cancer. The advice?
Check your cookware. If it's got a lot of wear and tear on it, if you've had it for longer than 3 and 5 years, then you probably should replace them.
ABC News medical correspondent Dr. Darian Sutton. More than 250 Teflon flu cases reported to the CDC last year alone. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
13 people were rescued on a hiking trail in Scottsdale, Arizona today during an extreme heat warning. Temperatures have been forecast to reach 108. Four hospitalized, three of them small children. Firefighters were called to the trail for a report the group was lost and running out of water. Family members say that they were all tourists from out of town. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I'm going to talk about how candy and beer helped me get good at money. I am not even kidding with this one. You may have heard me talk about having a money meeting with yourself. That's what I started doing when I turned my money life around, and it is still how I keep my life on track today. But back when I was starting out, I needed some motivation to show up to those meetings with myself. So I let myself have candy if it was the morning, and, you know, one of my favorite beers if it was sometime o'clock. Knowing that there's a treat coming, if I sit down and look at how I'm doing with my money, that helped get me to the table. They're just little rewards. Swap in whatever it is that motivates you if it's not candy and beer, and schedule that money meeting with yourself if it's not something you're already doing. For more tips on saving more and spending less, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is introducing a bill to protect communities from sudden hospital closures. As James Kelly reports, it's a response to what happened in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls this year.
The new legislation is meant to protect communities from the sudden closure of essential hospitals. If passed into law, a closing hospital system would be required to notify the Department of Health and Human Services and develop a plan with public input to connect patients with accessible care. The notification would be required at least 90 days in advance of the closure. I'm James Kelly.
Baldwin is running for re-election against challenger Eric Hovde. Emerald ash borers have been found in all 72 Wisconsin counties as of Friday. The tree-killing pest was first spotted in Wisconsin in 2008. The Department of Natural Resources says one day they'll kill virtually all of Wisconsin's ash trees. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Marlins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game weekend series tonight against the Marlins. The Marlins have just added former All-Star Randy Arozarena following a trade with the Tampa Bay Rays. Meanwhile, it appears that Christian Yelich has opted for rest and rehab rather than undergo season-ending back surgery. The 32-year-old Yelich is on the IL for a second time this season with back problems. Yesterday, at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., the Padres let right-hander Dylan Cease finish the game with 114 pitches and just 3 walks on the Padres radio network.
Abrams to right field. Johnson coming in. He makes the catch. No hits for the Nats. Dylan Cease throws a no-hitter. The second no-hitter in Padres history. There'll be a sea of San Diegans celebrating back home today.
The Padres won 3-0. NFL training camp. The Packers now practicing in pads today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Meanwhile, Jordan Love contract talks continue with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with a low only in the low 70s. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid for the weekend, highs in the upper 80s. Storms possible Sunday night, Monday. Another warm day with a high in the mid 80s. Most of the rest of next week looks drier and staying warm. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Tune into the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll react to the news from the weekend and talk about the issues impacting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. LaCrosse is home for Matt Nair on air.
Content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Hidney Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Karigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Thank you, Pinigigi, to all of our supporters and donors.
Hey, I just want to mention we got a big show on Monday, and we're going to have both Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan and the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Wisconsin on, and you know, I think they're going to interview themselves, so you know, then I can just sit back because they're such great people and great speakers. But we're excited to have that and have people tune in on that great show. But before we get to that Monday show, we have Arvina Martin, our friend. And Arvina, it's always great to have you on the show. You're executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. And, you know, it's great to see you. We haven't seen you in a while. I was watching the nightly news a couple weeks ago, and they were showing Biden. I think he was in Wisconsin, and somebody that looked like you lunged towards him and wanted a picture or something. It was on national news. I wanted to take a picture and send it to you, but I thought that can't be Arvina. She's met him many times. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, that was me. President Biden came by Madison, Wisconsin the week after there we are. Him, my daughter asked him for a selfie, and so I photobombed. And it was really exciting to be able to bring my daughter. We had no idea when we were going that we were going to be seated in the bleachers behind the podium. So that's a first for me. And I had to be really careful to make sure I wasn't making silly faces.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. We haven't talked to you in a long time, and the turn of events has fired up. You got to excuse me. It took me like a 24 or maybe 12 hour pause before I got really excited, because I was a little fearful at first. But then when Joe, you know, had Kamala promoted her, basically, and I got really excited. $100 million the first 24 hours. People like Haley, the Gen Zs, were donating their life savings and monies to this election. And I got really excited probably about the 13th hour after the announcement.
Yeah, I admit I was, I was sad. I heard Van Jones, the commentator, the political commentator, was on CNN that day talking about it. And he said that, you know, and I agree with his statement that Joe Biden is such a good human, that it was a hard thing to see. It was like taking your grandpa's car keys away from him, you know, and that you didn't want to do it, and you still wanted to think of your grandpa as the person that he had always been. But you know, I related to that really hard, and I probably went through all the stages of grief that day until the end of the day, when I had seen at that point, you know, the news had been out there for like 5 hours, and Kamala had raised insane amounts of money already, like $40 million in 4 hours or something. And I started to feel better then, and that helped. Seeing people coalesce around the vice president, and you know, almost, you know, I don't want to say uniformly, but consistently, I think that was really exciting. Hearing her, you know, my daughter talked to me about politics in a way that she had never talked to me about politics before. Like, she's grown up with me doing this kind of work, and she's not, you know, this is nothing new to her, but Kamala's candidacy means something to her as a 15-year-old that she has not yet experienced. And that's exciting to me. I just happened to see a stat that said that there have been over 100,000 more voter registrations across the country this week, and that 84% of them are people under the age of 35. I mean, yeah. That I think that says something about the moment. I think it says something about people being sick of this fear mongering and hate that's being peddled all over the place by the other side, and just trying to make us live in this world of fear over everything. And it warmed my heart to and made me feel good, and made me feel good about the fact that I have worked on the 2020 campaign for President Biden. And it made me really proud that I worked for this person who was, you know, put in a situation where he could either go with his own personal ambition and ego, or he could do what was right for the country. And he chose what was right for the country. That's rare. Yeah. I mean, I think it's also telling that, you know, the Republican side, their ticket and their team didn't even they didn't even think about this happening, you know, and were caught completely flat-footed because that's not something that they could conceive of putting one's personal ego to the side for the sake of the nation. I mean, Trump is all ego. Like, he's just one big, you know, meat bag of of ego. Like, that's all it can, you know. There's no thought towards bettering things for Americans. There's not any thoughts of making things more just and fair. It's just, keep me out of jail. I want to be dictator.
Hey, Arvina, one of the things that I was really afraid of too, because I'm a child of the 60s, is a repeat of the 68 convention, where it was upheaval and a split party, and then our friend Hubert Humphrey barely lost to Nixon because of the way the Democratic Party was split. There's no split right now. There's support all the way.
Yeah, I mean, from the grassroots on up, it is really amazing, especially given the reputation that Democrats have for being unorganized and saying Democrats need to fall in love with a candidate and Republicans fall in line with a candidate. You know, not to say that everybody's falling in line, but I think everybody sees what this moment needs and recognizes that the vice president is our best shot at protecting the very American values that we hold dear and ideas of democracy. Though at this point still imperfect, you know, with that we're still striving towards that and trying to find the most equitable, the most just, and you know, keeping people safe while not infringing on rights that we all hold as Americans. It makes me breathe a sigh of relief to see that everybody is meeting this moment and understands, and we're not seeing those petty arguments that maybe we would have seen 4 years ago, 8 years ago, et cetera.
Well, you see, I'm wearing my Biden Harris shirt. I got my Kamala doll here, action figure, ready to go.
Yay.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with our Avina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're just talking politics here on Friday. We really appreciate everyone listening, and we appreciate you, Arvina and Haley. We'll be right back after this short break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
Are you remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin and Haley Cherry, and Arvina Martin's Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And we're having a little love fest here with talking about Kamala Harris and, of course, Joe Biden. And, you know, just talk about Joe for a minute. I really believe, you know, his son passed away. Then Hillary won in 2016, then beat Trump by 3 million votes. And then we got Joe back in there, and he handily beat Trump by 8 million votes. We need to really keep people fired up, and now it's going to be really easy, because it was hard for me after the debate, and he had such a strong State of the Union speech. I was just baffled, and all the people kind of bailing on him made me really sad, but I wanted to fight for Joe. And Joe, like you said, Joe Biden, President Biden, did the best thing for the nation, and not his ego. And he's going to go down as one of the best presidents we've had, at least in my lifetime.
I absolutely agree. If you take a look at his record, I firmly believe that he does not get enough credit for things that he's accomplished. You know, turning our economy around. We still have inflation issues, but unemployment is down. Coming off of a global pandemic that was grossly mishandled by his predecessor. You know, he was able to help us turn the tide and get back to normalcy. And you know, I really think that his experience dealing with loss made it possible for him to relate to all of us throughout the pandemic in the fact that everybody lost something, whether it was, you know, just the ability to go out and do things that you wanted with your friends, you know, so, like everybody lost something. Everybody that existed during the pandemic experienced trauma, and he knew that. And I saw him once described as the country's griever in chief. And I think that he was precisely what our nation needed at that moment. And having someone that treated the nation with care and sensitivity and understanding that citizens of the United States and those that live here that aren't citizens and everybody had been experiencing something so difficult. And not only did he help bring us out of that, he has accomplished some of the most progressive policy at getting that passed since FDR. I mean, his policies raised more children above the poverty line than any other single piece of legislation in history. Mm-hmm. And of course, that piece of legislation was allowed to expire by Republicans, right. You know, but he, you know, really has spent his entire career in service. And I believe that he really thinks of the work he does as service to the nation that he loves and not just a way to make himself look great. I mean, let's be real. Anybody that runs for president has to have a healthy ego. I mean, yeah. You have to. It's you don't think you can do this without having it, and you don't get through a campaign without believing in yourself. But he is someone that I really think took his time in the Senate and his vice presidency and now his presidency as something that he was giving back. And I think we seriously need a return to that kind of elected leader. And I think that Vice President Harris is very much in line with that. I mean, I don't think that President Biden would have chosen her to be his running mate if she didn't see that kind of service as, you know, a very compelling reason as to why she does the work that she does.
You know, I sometimes forget because 50 years ago when Joe Biden became a senator, his wife and daughter passed away too. So we forget that happened.
And not just passed away, were killed tragically in a car accident. Very unexpectedly, his daughter was a baby and both of his sons were, you know, he was sworn in at his son's bedside. And he was, it seems weird to say this now, but he was the youngest senator. He's history's youngest senator, and he was sworn in by his son's bedside. So to me, that shows someone who has come into this game of politics and has come in with his priorities intact. His priorities were the well-being of his sons, and he didn't leave them that day. I think that's remarkable. And what a better, I mean, how could we have a better role model for Vice President Harris and her being able to see his care and his concern for the people of the United States, the people in the United States. You know, that makes me feel, I mean, even better about Vice President Harris's candidacy is that she has learned from someone amazing, and someone who has put the country first. And I think that she will take those lessons to heart and govern accordingly. And I think that's fantastic.
Well, and before we really start talking about the vice president, I just want to mention one thing that really blows my mind that was brought up, is that Joe Biden was the first vice president of an African American president. He's also yep. going to be he's also the first president of a BIPOC African American vice president, and soon to be president. So that's an unbelievable tie from him, his legacy.
Yeah, and I think that when people talk about his age, you know, I think that talking about his aging in conjunction with the those two facts show that while he may, you know, have come out with very moderate political policy ideas, or he may have come across very moderate, that he is very progressive and that he is forward thinking. And you know, I think what a great person for our vice president to have like seen govern by example. And I think that will absolutely inform her presidency once she is sworn in. I think she will take the lessons that she has learned by watching President Biden very seriously. And I think that he'll kind of be like, you know how like in cartoons back in the day, they would have like the devil version of the character on one shoulder and the, you know, the angel version. I think that she's going to have kind of like a, what would Joe Biden do
mm-hmm.
attitude about things and her decision-making process, if that makes sense. That yeah. Not that she's going to like be Joe Biden 2.0 or anything, but the way that she looks at things and the way that she will eventually govern, I think will be very, very highly, you know, influenced by what she saw during the Biden presidency. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The Republicans are worried and concerned and squawking about her being more progressive than Joe Biden. I said, well, that's great. But I'll tell you, you know, I always told you that story, Arvina, when I met President Obama. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Biden was more progressive than President Obama. And he always said he was a centrist, but people didn't believe him. But, you know, I was going to I met him in Milwaukee. And that's I'll tell the story again. It's real quick. But I'll tell you. And so I got a chance to meet him and have a picture op with him. And I was going to tell him, I had my free Leonard Peltier button on, and I was going to tell Obama, hey, you know, you didn't do us right on Standing Rock. And so we get in the room, and one second we get in the room, he sticks his hand out to shake my hand and says, hi, how are you? And the charismatic personality that just came across right away, I wanted to hug him and kiss him, shook his hand, took a picture. 13 seconds later, I was gone. I was like, what happened? It's like unbelievable.
Well, I had a chance to take a picture with him. This is a time separate than the most recent meeting time I got to meet him. But I got to have my picture taken, and I introduced myself in Ho-Chunk to him. Oh. And said, you know, Mr. President, you know, I'm a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, and this is part of, he was in Madison, this is part of our traditional territory, and I want to mm-hmm. welcome you to our homelands. And mm-hmm. his eyes got really big, and he said, I love it when Native people remind us that they're citizens of another nation. Mm-hmm. And that was, and it was absolutely an organic moment. It wasn't contrived, you know. Mm-hmm. That was a real reaction, and I think that means a lot. And imagine, you know, any other, like, can you imagine any other presidents being like, I love it when you say that you guys are kind of like dual citizens, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just a wonderful moment. And then I got my he gave me a hug. So I got my hug. But I felt that same kind of instinct of wanting to.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. 100-degree temps, not the only danger crews face battling this largest wildfire in California so far. North of Sacramento, ABC's Kena Whitworth.
Down trees and power lines hampering this firefight. In fact, one Cal Fire official told me that not only is this fire burning aggressively, but that it's angry in all the right places. It's burning part of the forest that hasn't burned in decades, tripling in size, and it's now the largest fire in California.
Coordinated arson attacks in the French rail system caused travel chaos hours before the Olympics opening ceremony today in Paris. A fourth attempt was thwarted by rail workers who scared off several suspected arsonists. Ismael Amayo Zambada, 76, alleged big-time Mexican-based drug cartel leader, pleaded not guilty in federal court in El Paso, Texas today. Former President Trump says he plans to hold a second rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, where he was shot 2 weeks ago. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is well represented at the Paris Olympics. Here's Lisa Hale.
18 athletes from the Badger State will compete for Team USA in the Paris 2024 Olympics. The biggest name competing might be Indiana Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton. He's an Oshkosh native on the men's basketball team. The Paris Olympics will last through August 11th. For Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin's largest school district has an interim superintendent. The Milwaukee Public School Board voted Thursday to place the district's acting superintendent, Eduardo Galvan, into the interim position. He's overseen MPS since Keith Posley resigned in June. The board plans to conduct a national search for a permanent superintendent. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The good news for fans of The Boys is that there will be a season 5. The bad news is that it will be the last season, according to showrunner Eric Kripke. More not-so-great news for fans, producers say the season will take 2 years to shoot and is still in the early stages of development. Producers of the Amazon Prime show say the soonest the new season can drop would be mid-2026. It appears things are finally on track for an I Am Legend sequel. Legendary screenwriter Akiva Goldsman told Deadline there will be good news soon. How can you have a sequel when the main character died in the original? Goldsman says they are sequelizing an alternative ending. When it comes to millions of dollars, Hollywood can be incredibly resourceful and creative. The first installment of the Will Smith film raked in over $500 million in 2007. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with a low only in the low 70s. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid for the weekend, highs in the upper 80s. Storms possible Sunday night, Monday. Another warm day with a high in the mid 80s. Most of the rest of next week looks drier and staying warm. Right now it's 76.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, have you heard of the recombobulation area? Well, Dan Schaefer is sitting in the host chair, folks. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, and it's always exciting to catch up and talk about politics. And as you know, we're on civic media, too, in Wisconsin, so it really helps us amplify what's happening in Wisconsin with your appearance. And I know you've guest hosted, one of the best guest hosts I've ever had, and we can't wait to
oh my goodness, that means a lot. Thank you so much.
That's sorry true, to right? That's true, right, Haley?
Oh, very true. One of my favorite guests that I would, you know, always have back as a guest host.
Absolutely. Well, Haley, let's segue into you right now. It was fun because I talked to you the day after that we heard about Joe Biden and handing the torch over. And yeah. I said, oh, my God, in 24 hours, you know, the candidate got $100 million from people, just normal people out there, not big money. And you said.
Yeah, they're like Arvina was talking about, I think it was like over 40 million in like not even a full 24 hours. This was probably, you know, 6 or 4 hours of that time. And I'll be honest, this is the first time I've ever donated money to any presidential campaign.
Yep.
And it was, you know, it was all of these donors were small money donors. So, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's $1, $2, $5 to $10, it really added up. And I just have to say, I've told this story to the first presidential election I kind of, you know, paid attention to was, I don't know, even the year I was a kid, I was in elementary school, but this was, you know, Barack Obama's presidency. And hey, shout out Heather Keeler here. She just commented on our feed.
State Representative Heather Keeler has hosted our show too before. Just wanted to...
She has. She's great as well. We love
her.
Yes,
we are lucky to have her too. Busted, Bailey.
Yeah, I mean, hey, well, thanks for listening, Heather. I would say, you know, the election that I paid attention to the most, like as a kid, was Barack Obama's. And I was so excited because this was a president, a younger president, and a black one at that. And I remember my mom waking me up in the middle of the night after the polls were coming through and it was confirmed that he was going to be our next president. And it was an amazing moment. I just remember being woken up and I was so excited. And I don't know, I was a kid and I was excited. And that's, you know, not many kids get excited for presidential elections like that. But, you know, I think Kamala's got the right kind of mindset. I think she's very wise. When we talk about Native cultures, we talk about women and our matriarchs leading us. And I mean, we've never had a woman as president. So why not? Like, let's see what kind of positive change that this brings to our country, especially a younger woman and someone who has experience. You know, she didn't just fall out of the coconut tree. She's been, you know, having a political career her whole life. She was an attorney. She was a police officer. A senator. Yeah. I'm really hopeful for her and the upcoming president.
Well, yeah.
I was telling Wendy
that she is a co-founder of Emerge.
What?
My organization. Yeah, Emerge actually came to be because a group of women in the San Francisco area decided they wanted more women candidates and more women elected. So the first candidate that they picked up and worked was now Vice President Harris's district attorney campaign for San Francisco. So, wow. So, you know, we at Emerge have a very, very strong, like, lift as you climb ethos. So, you know, part of our mission is like, you don't just go up and bring yourself, you bring everybody with you. You know, you take I personally take that very seriously. I will, you know, I want to bring as many people, especially Native people, with me as possible. And what, you know, I'm really proud that my organization has been, you know, is one that helped our hopeful next president get elected along her career. And what you're talking about, the power of matriarchs, you know, there's an entire, you know, half of the population who've never been represented in this office. Oh, an entire half, wow. Which is unbelievable. Why would you want to limit yourself or limit the idea of who your leaders can be to half the population? Yeah. It's so short-sighted. I mean, besides all of the equality and you know, the fact that women can do the same jobs and do them just as well. But why on earth, if you're searching for the best candidate for such an important job, why would you limit it to half the population? It's just absurd. You know,
well, it's crazy too. The media had an attack on Hillary for 30 years, and she should have been our first woman president. And I got to just tell you a quick story. When Haley was talking about Obama, it's like Wendy was the first Obama fan in our family. I wasn't convinced. And then we went to see him speak at in Minneapolis. And after that, I was convinced, but I wasn't convinced at first. And, it takes a strong woman to lead a groovy guy like me. And Wendy led me to the promised land there with Obama.
Yeah, actually, so when he had announced his candidacy earlier, but he had my Obama presidency story. I was pregnant. And I remember getting excited because I was going to watch this speech where Caroline Kennedy Schlossberg was going to introduce now President Barack Obama kind of to the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very early on in my pregnancy, but the hormones were in full effect. And I am someone who gets emotional, like at the drop of the hat, like just even when I'm not pregnant, But I remember just breaking down in tears listening to her describe this person that gave her such hope. And then she was able to tie it back to the hope that her father had brought so many people. And that was so powerful to me. I remember calling my mom and being like, come over here. Caroline Kennedy's talking about her dad and Barack Obama. And she's like, I have no idea why you're crying, but okay, I'll come over.
That's an amazing story. It kind of hit me there because of the legacies, Kennedy's handing over the torch really to Obama at that point. And that's a memorable thing at the convention. And that was, and I forget too, I was talking to Wendy, I forget too that how strong of a senator she was, because there's some footage that came up where she's questioning Barr about some things, in the Trump presidency, and man, she was on it. You know, a former prosecutor was on it.
Oh, absolutely. And she did the same with all of the Trump nominees for the Supreme Court. You know, she grilled them. Mm-hmm. And as they should be grilled. And that's that prosecutorial experience coming out. And I cannot wait till she debates him. I mean, I remember watching her debate Vice President Pence, and the way he talked over her, and watching Haley. I'm not sure if you watched those debates or that debate, but watching her kind of like, her sighs and her like the facial expressions that she made over being talked over being dismissed. I'm like, every woman that works in professional America has had that experience of some guy trying to talk like he knows more than her and talk over her. And just that those expressions on her face, we've all made those expressions. And contrast that to now Trump's vice presidential candidate that's like, women need to be barefoot and pregnant. You know? it's such a contrast. I feel like we really need to retire the whole both sides are the same.
Right.
That like talking point, because you can't say both sides are the same when one side is like women need to be pregnant and in the home and the man, what he says goes, versus the Democratic side that says, yes, women are fully formed individuals with opinions and capabilities and just like men and need to be treated thusly.
Yeah,
I mean, because that isn't the our house is run a lot different than the Republican household. Wait a minute, I just want to get a verification, right, Wendy?
Absolutely.
Well, I think it's, you know, one thing that's been on top of my mind this past 24 hours is, you know, JD's response about Kamala not being a fit candidate because she doesn't have children.
Yeah.
And attacking women, childless women who choose or, you know, physically cannot have children, saying that they're unfit. Unfit to lead. And
get a half
because
a vote.
Because
the cat people get a half a vote, he was saying.
He said that, that women who were childless didn't have as much stake in the country as women with children.
I just want to throw into that Kamala is a step parent,
right?
You know,
has two kids.
Second gentleman Doug Emhoff has two children, and his ex wife actually had said something too, saying, "How dare you insinuate that she is not a mother figure? She may have not birthed those children, but she has been a wonderful person to like co-parent with." So there's that, but oh my gosh, this is a huge tangent that could go hours and hours.
Right.
Well, Arvina, yes, we got to get you on every week here again, get you back on schedule because
yes,
we got it.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on and really speaking your truth, which is just makes total sense to us and our listeners, and that's just keep the ball rolling.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Right on. Hey, up next, Wendy Pilot with our sacred animals section, our sacred animals, Wendy.
Stay with us.
Right on. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
You know, if we would have had our chihuahuas there, they would have started hollering with us.
They would, yeah.
Hey, I want to introduce and welcome Wendy Pilot on the show. She's been an animal advocate for many years, and she talks about our sacred animals, which, you know, are our relatives for the last 8 years, and I've learned so much. And I also got to say this too, Wendy, before you jump in.
Yeah.
You were one of the best hosts on Native Roots Radio too. Oh, do you remember?
Thank you. I remember hosting many times on Thursdays, right? Thursdays.
Or Monday.
Or Monday.
With Ogama.
Sometimes two times a week. Yeah.
With Ogama. Yeah. And then we've been discussing that lately in therapy. So it's she won't be doing that again lately, right?
Absolutely. You're right.
Well, welcome and take it away.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. I have an article here. You know, every now and then, Popular Mechanics comes up with a really good article, and they have one. Dated July 15th, 2024, and it's written by Darren Orff. And its title is 31,000 Bison Are Left in America, and Scientists Have an Epic Plan to Save Them from Extinction. Oh, no. Okay, we have a problem here.
Oh, I'll get that. Go ahead.
Okay. So the American bison is an icon of North America, but after dangerously dwindling to only 1,000 or so animals at the turn of this 20th century, the majestic beast is still struggling to return to its former glory. According to a new report by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Texas-based biotech company Colossal is teaming up with indigenous communities to help return the animal back to its native range. So pure bison DNA is really hard to come by, and what does exist is likely to be infected with the disease brucellosis. So what they do is they hope that the Colossal, the company, can use its genetic know-how to circumvent the disease and eventually introduce healthy populations throughout the Great Plains. So there we are, science. Science is working again to save our bison. So I'm really happy about that. It'll probably be a couple of years, I would imagine, for them to get that science down and do that. However, yeah, we'll see what happens. So I'm really excited about that. Also, in other news, the New York Times today just had an article. Robert, you're going to be interested in hearing about this one. So angry birds take on drones at New York City beach. Nice. So there's a beach called Rockaway Beach on Long Island, which is 9.5 miles away from Long Beach, where Robert and I spend a lot of time. And there's these beautiful little birds called oyster catchers, and they're a little bit smaller than a seagull, and they're black and white, and they have bright orange long beak, and they're called oyster catchers because that's exactly what they do, is that they open up oysters and other shelled sea food, and they crack them open, and they eat the fish, you know, the food inside. Anyway, what's happening is that you know, people are going into the ocean on Rockaway Beach, and you know, people are having trouble drowning. There's sharks. There's things happening. So the city is sending up drones to watch for sharks and to help the lifeguards locate people who might be having a hard time swimming. Now, these oyster catcher birds think that these are other prey and birds, and they're going up to the drones and they're trying to fight the drones.
Wow.
Yeah. So they fly up and they get to the drone and they squawk and they really try to hit the drone with their feet to knock the drone down. Now, the problem is that the drone has wings, right? Like wings, what would you call them? They go around and around like a helicopter.
Like helicopter.
Yeah. So the birds can really get their legs caught in them and get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Right. First of all. And then the second thing is if the oyster catcher is leaving their nest to go and catch the drones, then they're leaving their eggs and their baby chicks vulnerable for other things. So, yeah. So the city is trying to work out a way how to keep the surfers and the people in the water safe against, you know, currents and things like that and sharks, and also trying to help these birds. So what they, you know, they're coming up with some ideas. Maybe we can go a little bit higher, get stronger cameras, go out a little bit further. So, you know, we're not bothering the oyster catcher birds.
Wow. They're fun birds. You've painted those.
I've painted them. Yes. They're beautiful, really birds. There's a Facebook page called the Oyster Catcher Chronicles, and it's from Long Beach. Mm-hmm. And people will post pictures of every season, you know, and they mate for life. So there's like the couple, they have the, you know, the eggs, they watch over the eggs, and, you know, they watch these birds and we get to see them.
Wow.
As they're growing up. So I like to catch them every now and then.
In a picture or
in a
painting.
Picture, yeah, I do. I like to do that. I take pictures of them and paint them. Yeah.
Wow.
Another really interesting thing I just want to bring up now, that this is, you know, people say, I was this many years old when I learned this. Like, I just yesterday. I just learned this. Not every dog knows how to swim. Oh, I just thought that all dogs know how to swim, but they don't. So I found this article. Yeah, your dog may never have shown an interest in the water or may just paddle, but dogs are instinct reactive, and it'll only take an accident for something bad to happen if you think this. So here's some breeds that can't swim or who are really poor swimmers. French bulldogs, English bulldogs, they can't swim. That doesn't explain why. I'm imagining because they're like a thick, heavy little dog and their noses are really squished in. So they really can't breathe really bad. Yeah, pugs also are on the list. Dachshunds, they're on the list. Boxers. Guess who else? Shih Tzus.
What?
Yeah. Wanda. Our little Wanda is either can't swim or is a poor swimmer.
Well, you have her life jacket on.
I do have a life jacket. I have a life jacket.
Good job.
From Outward Hound. And it's cute. It has a little handle on it, and I could pick her up like a little purse. Basset hounds.
Oh.
Corgis.
Corgis. They got those short little legs.
Yeah, dachshunds too, probably, right? The short little legs. And Maltese. So our other dog, little Gracie, who's no longer with us, but a Maltese, they can't swim or they're poor swimmers. So I would suggest, listen, you know, if your dog's never been around the water or has a, you know, don't supervise them in the water. Make sure you're there to hold them or let them wear a life jacket, because not all dogs apparently swim. I just learned that.
Wow. Hey, thanks, Wendy. We're still here. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the organization Parents as Teachers, what that would mean for you, mom and dad, and your kids. Plus, all the news from the weekend. We'll recap it. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.